Let us pray. Our Father, thou art good to us. Thou art merciful, faithful, long-suffering. And how we praise thee and thank thee for this tonight. Our heart goes to thee because thou art God, and beside thee there's none other. And thou hast promised thou shalt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Father, we just want to thank you for the past weeks, for the ups and downs and ins and outs. We thank you for the successful operation again. We thank you for the time of recovery. It has been so long, it seemingly, but yet thou hast been patient with us and kind and tender. We do not want to murmur or complain against thy providence, against thy leading, but to bow before thee and say, if the judge of all the earth doeth right, our Father can make no mistakes. And Lord, this is where we are tonight, at thy feet. We have nothing to lean upon or rest upon but the Lord Jesus Christ and his precious blood and his righteousness. We cannot plead one thing, Lord, especially one good work that we have ever done that can justify us or appease thy wrath. Only the precious blood of Christ as the one slain in our place can appease thy wrath and satisfy thy justice, and he has. And having risen from the grave, he has become our justifier. And ascended to the right hand of the Father, has become our interceding high priest and our representative there. And for this we praise thee and thank thee, Lord Jesus, that you pray for us. Our Father, we need you as a people tonight. We need the closing in of the ranks. We need our hearts searched and broken. We need, Father, for the things that are dying to be strengthened. We need, ever, Father, our hearts and minds to be stayed upon thee. And the word which thou hast given us for tonight, will you write it upon our heart and upon each and every one who hears? O blessed Spirit of the living God, will you work and do what the work that only thou canst do in breaking down each and every soul to look away only to the Lord Jesus Christ. May he be lifted up in our midst. May Christ's name be among us as a precious ointment poured forth, the oil of the balm of Gilead poured forth into our souls. Oh, may we forget, our Father, the difficulties and trials and all the confusion around us and the world at war with each other. Our Father, may we forget these things for the moment and may our hearts be centered upon thee. And in the midst of all the confusion and heartaches and sorrows, may our hearts and minds be stayed upon thee is our cry. We thank you for the past year. In spite of all the suffering, the misunderstanding, the persecution, in the midst of everything that has gone on, our Father, thou hast been gracious and merciful and faithful, and we just want to give thee thanks for it. And as we look forward to this new year, may it be a time of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. May we be able to look back and to say, God, surely came down his mercy seat to greet and blessed his word and anointed and gave what was needful for our souls. Help us, lead us and guide us, each and every one of us in our families. Thou knowest the need in each and every home, and we pray that thou wilt provide, Father, for it is in Christ's name that we ask. Amen. We want you to turn with us in your Bibles tonight to Isaiah chapter 26. This has been a blessed portion to my heart. I'd like to read to you the first four verses of Isaiah 26. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength, for in the Lord Jehovah we find the rock of ages. Could be a literal rendition of that scripture. As you know, the prophet Isaiah was the evangelist of the Old Testament. He spoke more of Christ and of the coming New Testament era, the coming of the Messiah. That whole 53rd chapter is given over to the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came up over 200 years before the children of Israel came out of Babylonian captivity. About a hundred years before they went into captivity, he prophesied. His whole book was given over to the judgments that were coming upon the children of Israel because of their sins. But with every sound of the trumpet of judgment, there was the sound of the trumpet of the gospel that was coming in the Messiah. And Isaiah's prophecy not only applied to the children of Israel coming out of Babylonian captivity, because he in one breath he told them they were going, and the next breath he told them they were coming back. And he even prophesied in Isaiah 45 of a heathen king by the name of Cyrus of the Medes and Persians who would come to the throne and who would deliver Israel from the Babylonians, and they would go free. And God would give the edict for them to go back to the land of Palestine. He spoke to them not only in a physical way, that they would go back in a physical way back to Jerusalem and back to Judea, but so much of his writings has to do with the salvation of the Lord. He was not interested so much in the fact of the bodily going back of the children of Israel out of captivity as he was concerned about the children of Israel being delivered from the captivity of sin and of Satan and of hell and from the wrath to come. And this is where our portion tonight comes in. He had been talking in the previous chapters about the judgments of God. But he starts in chapter 25. And he says in verse 6, "And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of things on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, and of wines on the lees well refined." He was speaking of the salvation that was coming to them in Messiah. Verse 9, "It shall be said in that day, Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation." And then he goes into chapter 26, and he says, "In that day," not only in the day of their deliverance from captivity and their coming back to the city of Jerusalem and the land of Judah, but also he is speaking here of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in his first coming and then his second coming. And he says, "In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks," speaking of the Messiah who is to come. So he says in verse 2, "Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may come in." And this was prophesied of the day of Pentecost. The gates were opened. And the righteous nation, the church that God had bought with the price of his own precious blood, was open and the keys were given, you remember, to Peter, that he might open the keys of the kingdom. And they were given to him to preach the gospel of the grace of God and deliverance. And then he tells us in verse 3 how we should go through this life. How that righteous nation which has come to that strong city, that salvation that God has appointed as walls and bulwarks around us. He tells us in verse 3 what we should do and how we should act. He comes and said, "Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee." One time, Isaiah? Oh no, he says in verse 4, "Trust ye in the Lord forever." Faith will be the watchword. Faith will be the key that opens the gates. Faith will be that which will unlock to the soul all that is needed for time and for eternity. The just shall live by faith. "Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on the living God." Because why? Faith trusteth in him, not in anything else. How long, Isaiah? Trust in the Lord forever. And then here and only one other place in the whole Bible is the compound name of God given, Jehovah Jehovah or Jael Jehovah. For in the Lord Jehovah, in him, the great I am, is everlasting strength. Or it could be read like this, and has a blessed meaning. Those whose mind is stayed upon Christ, those who trust in him forever, those who look to the Lord God Jehovah as revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ, he, and he alone, is the rock of ages. And he who is anchored upon him, the rock of ages, shall never be moved. They that put their trust in him is like Mount Zion, with the mountains about it, they shall never be moved. So I want us to look at that third and fourth verse tonight, the Lord willing, and see what he has in store for us. I want you to notice, first of all, that he opens up to us a secret. There are many secrets and many mysteries in the Word of God. But I want you to notice he opens up to us a secret as revealed only in the Lord Jesus Christ. For he reveals unto us the method, the one and only method of true and perfect peace. The whole world clamors for peace, doesn't it? That's all we hear today. Let's have peace in the Middle East. Let's do anything to save bloodshed and war. But our God said there to be wars and rumors of wars until he come in. I heard somebody say the other day that if the United States was going to put out every war, they'd have to be in 40 different places right now. There's 40 different wars going on around the world. Everybody's clamoring for peace. But beloved, there's no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. And there's no peace outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now there's another thing I want you to notice. He gives us the secret here. Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace. Or it could be translated, thou shalt keep him in peace, peace. In other words, he gives us a double dose of it. A double portion of peace he gives to those who are in Christ Jesus. The promise does not read that God is going to give us deliverance from sorrow. The promise is not given that he's going to keep us from misunderstanding. He's not going to keep us from the things that come upon us because we are sinners of Adam's race. It doesn't say that he is going to give us success or prosperity. He doesn't say that. But it says that he will keep him or give him peace. Peace whose mind is stayed upon God. Now it's the absence of peace that disturbs us. It's the absence of peace that disturbs my heart. It's the absence of peace that disturbs the awakened soul. Well, I mean when he's really awakened. And he cannot rest until he finds and comes to know the Prince of Peace. Him who made peace by the blood of his cross. He's not talking about that peace that is presumptuous peace. That peace that people go on trying to get and to have, smiling their way through everything, because there's no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. There's no peace in complacency and fatalism. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about soul peace. That soul peace that God gives in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me go. Let us take that thought further. He does not want us to have that peace, or he does not give us that peace of ignorance. I went to I officiated a funeral one time, and when we went to the wake, around the casket played two little children. They were at peace. Their mother was lying in the coffin. They had peace. They didn't know anything about it. They were ignorant until they grew up of what really had happened. We don't want the peace of ignorance. And that's not the peace he's talking about. Where we hide our head in the sand and we do not confess that God is on the throne. We do not want the peace of corruption as the dead man. We look at him and how many times have you gone to a wake or a review of the body of a dead person and you've heard the statement made and perhaps you might have made it yourself. Oh, how peaceable they look. They're better off now. We don't want that. That corpse lays there. It's dead. It can't move. It's dead. It'll corrupt in a few days, in a few weeks. We don't want that peace, the peace of corruption. That peace that deadens our minds, and our minds can't think upon heavenly things. We don't want that peace. We want a peace that passeth all understanding, that keeps our hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. We don't want that peace that is dependent upon others. In other words, when others treat us well and others do us well, then we are at peace because they do us well. That's a false peace. Or are we at peace because we have entrusted into a broker's hands or a lawyer's hands or somebody that's investing our money, 100,000, 200,000, 10,000, whatever it might be, and we are at peace because that money has been given to this man that we trust or this broker that we trust, and he's making money for us and we don't have to worry about it, and we have that peace, and all the time he has misspent it, misused it, and we are broke, bankrupt, and don't know it. We don't want that kind of peace. We want that peace that rests wholly and completely upon the Lord Jesus Christ. We do not want the peace of success. And yet I don't see how man really has peace. He might think he does when he has really become successful. He's achieved. He has made his niche in life. And there's a certain quantity or quality of peace about that, that he's come up through the ranks. He's a self-made man. He's at peace because he's a success. We don't want that peace. That's not the peace that he's talking about here. That peace flees. All this other flees away. They want that peace that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ and from Him alone. Well, what is He talking about here then? What kind of peace is He talking about? I want you to notice what He says. He says, trust ye in the Lord forever. He's the rock of ages. Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee, the living God, because he trusteth in him. Faith, by God's grace, is the key that unlocks the door or the gate. And this is what we want, that faith that will lay hold of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what does that word stayed mean? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. What does that mean? Well, that word means to trust. It means to lean upon. It means to rely upon. It means to rest upon. We have rested our souls in the hands of the living God. We have laid down upon Him. We have stayed our whole weight upon Him. We have surrendered all things unto Him and to Him alone. The blessing that is here is the blessing that we have for the object of our trust, Jehovah God Himself. Now I want to ask you a question and I want you to think with me. And I want you to tell me if I'm right or not. What our mind uses the mind here, our understanding, what our mind meditates upon is not that what controls our conversation and our walk and our talk. There is a contrast between the mind being stayed or centered, would be another word we could use, the mind being centered upon Christ in meditation with Him, in communion with Him, the meditating upon His Word, the meditating upon His blessings, upon His mercies, and especially meditating upon the fact of how the Word of God reveals Him unto our souls as the Almighty One, the All-Sufficient One. In other words, our minds are stayed upon Him. I have found that when my mind is stayed upon the things of this world, faith has a hard time to operate. When my mind is taken up with the things of this world, I don't care what it is, the newspaper, the radio, the television, the magazines, the books, if our mind is stayed and centered upon those things, then faith does not operate. It cannot be stayed upon God. And there cannot be peace, true peace, unless the mind is stayed upon God. So how is it stayed upon God? Only as it feeds upon the Word of God. That's the only place where we can find food for our souls is here. The only place where faith can be exercised or have something to plead back before His throne is where we find it in the Word of God. It's the promises of God, the precepts of God, that we began to plead back before Him. I want you to notice now, it's the understanding, the mind stayed upon God, the mind thinking about God. The mind meditating, the understanding meditating upon the reconciliation work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their iniquities or their trespasses unto them. Oh, that's a precious one to meditate upon. To wit, that God was in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:19, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed us unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, the only way that we have of knowing that our sins and iniquities and trespasses are not imputed to our account, but are imputed to Christ, as our mind is stayed upon the work of the Lord Jesus and faith is in operation. We lose our peace as we look away to other things instead of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Perfect peace. And I thank God for that work. It is a perfect work. It has not yet been perfected in this life, and it will never be perfected in this life. But it is a faith that is far, it is a peace that's far above that peace that the world gives. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth unto you, but as I give unto you. He told his disciples on the night of his betrayal in John 16, my peace I give unto you. My peace I leave with you. He talks much of that peace there in John 16 when he's fixing to leave his disciples. He says, chapter 14, verse 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And then he said, in chapter 16, verse 33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. In me you might have peace. So you see, our peace then is in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, manifested in Him. And this is where God wants us to come. He wants us to trust in Him forever. For He made peace by the blood of His cross. And I like what He says here, that we are kept. It's His business to keep us. As we stay upon Him, as our mind meditates upon Him, and as we are stayed upon Him, then discouragements may come, misunderstanding may come, confusion may come, all may give away around us. But our hope and our trust is in Him. Sure, we come confessing, come crying unto God for mercy. Surely we confess that we've been nothing but a complete failure and we've been an unprofitable servant. But when we come back to Him, He alone can give us that peace that passeth all understanding, that keeps our hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the peace that I want. Whatever distraction may come, however disquiet it may be around us, have the mind stayed upon Him. Now you talk about the mind. This is where our battles take place. And I would be less than human. Or I'd be more than human if I would tell you that the last few months has not affected me. You don't know what's gone through my mind. You don't know how I have cried and cried and cried and cried and cried to God. Take everything out. that would hinder that peace between him and my soul. And when I find myself arguing with somebody in my mind, I've got to run to him and stay upon him and cry after him, for thou art my peace. I cannot get peace otherwise. And when sin comes to loom up, would you believe that the other day a sin I had committed 52 years ago came back as if it had just happened yesterday? I know it was under the blood, but it began to come back. It began to haunt me. And I had to cry to God for that mercy which I know He gives, and to stay my mind upon the finished work of Christ, and to hear from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He did this for my sake. And then to hear the words, it is finished. There remaineth no more to be done. He has finished it all. And to stay my mind upon Him, that's the way we overcome. That's the overcoming one. And it's trusting in Jehovah forever. Oh, wouldn't it be nice for it to be a one-time thing? And we would be through with sin. And we would get our glorified bodies and we'd walk without a thought ever coming to our mind again. It's not that way. But our peace is in Jehovah, who made our peace by the blood of His cross. And we do battle, beloved. Don't you think we don't? Don't you think we don't? Satan comes with all of his host against us. He accuses us to God, and he accuses God to us. And certainly when we are physically down like I've been for the last 7 weeks, he comes as never before. God's gone off and left you now. He'll never bring you out of this. You've lost it all. And I could very well agree with him, except Jesus Christ is my all in all. And I tell him this. I have nothing to plead but his blood and his righteousness. Beloved, when we stop and meditate upon and put the emphasis as we meditate upon the absolute unchangeableness of God, the absolute unchangeableness of God. He cannot break the covenant that He made with the Lord Jesus Christ for my never dying soul. And Satan says, well, this is presumption on your part. Well, if I've been deceived, I come to Him now, just as I am, without one plea, but that His blood was shed for me, and that He bids me come to Him. O Lamb of God, I come. I come. What work can I offer unto Him? My mind, my affection, my will must be stayed upon Him. So when we meditate, let us put the emphasis upon the absolute unchangeableness of God. He cannot change in His attitude from us, toward us. And His mercy is unlimited. Sure, He brings His chastening rod, but His mercies are unlimited. 136th Psalm, His mercies endure forever. Is at the end of every verse. Our minds stayed upon Him. Put the emphasis upon the absolute unchangeableness of God. He's eternal. He cannot change. And He is not unlimited in all that He said that He would do for us. He will bring it fast. He cannot go back upon His word. And beloved, the promise that God has given to His people is an unconditional promise. I will give you a new heart, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall walk in my statutes and keep my judgments. You see, the promises that we stay upon Jehovah is they are unlimited in their scope. He is the Rock of Ages. And as I told you in verse 4, He says, I am the great I am. And the word, the expression, I am, means I am what I was, I am what I am, and I am what I shall always be. Yesterday, today, and forever, I am the same, and I change not. Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Never will forget June of 1977. I woke up in the recovery room from the gallbladder operation, and I'm telling you, I felt like 15 mules had kicked me in my stomach. They couldn't put enough dope into me. And all afternoon I suffered. And I knew what the night was going to bring. And they had me turning every 30 minutes. And every time I turned, it was torture. And you know what I prayed? This came to my mind. Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. And I must have quoted that 100 or more times that night, that my mind would be stayed upon Christ and upon his sufferings for me. And don't you know God got us through the night for his glory? Think upon the great I am. In that name is the Rock of Ages. Cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Go to the lily pond, and you'll see this white, beautiful lily out there in the stagnant water, whose roots are down in the muck and the mire. The muck and the mire didn't produce that glorious and beautiful and lovely white flower, the new life that was in it, did that? And so amidst the muck and the mire that we see, and the confusion that goes on all around us, and comes to swallow us up at times, thou shalt keep him in perfect peace like the white lily, we can shine for the glory of God and look to him. For he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. What a hope. What a blessed portion of Scripture. I wish you would read it and meditate upon it this next week, because it is a precious portion. And see it in its context of God's deliverance. And let us pray. God's not through with us yet. God hasn't gone off and left us. God is on the throne. Let's stay ourselves upon Him. Though there's confusion all around us, and though the battle be heavy and hot, and though we feel like giving up and quitting, stay upon Jehovah. Look to Him. Let your mind be upon Him and His goodness towards you. And oh, may you who do not have that peace that passeth all understanding, God would be pleased tonight to give it to you. There's no peace, saith my God, to the wicked, but there is peace in Christ. Justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you. Brother Edward, would you lead us in closing prayer?